From NPR News in Washington, I'm Nora Rahm. The U.S. military in Iraq is investigating an apparent misfire during combat operations in eastern Baghdad yesterday. Officials say the crew of an Apache helicopter spotted insurgents planting roadside bombs and opened fire. One missile went wide of its mark and struck a U.S. Humvee. Two American soldiers and three Iraqi civilians were injured. Officials in Iran say a deadly explosion at a mosque last night was the result of an accident, not an attack. At least 10 people were killed by the explosion during a crowded service in the southern city of Shiraz. A police chief said the blast might have been caused by ammunition left in the mosque after a recent military exhibition. There are renewed hopes of warmer ties and better transit links between China and Taiwan after a meeting yesterday. NPR's Louisa Lim reports from Shanghai.
China's President Hu Jintao met Taiwan's Vice President-elect Vincent Xu for 20 minutes at a regional economic forum on Saturday. It's being hailed as the highest-level meeting since 1949 and a new beginning following strained relations between Beijing and Taiwan, which China views as a renegade province. Xinhua News Agency quoted President Hu as saying both sides faced a historic opportunity and should work together for more progress. Taiwanese analysts believe that negotiations will now begin, as both sides hope to promote economic cooperation, tourism and more direct flights. Xu, along with the Nationalist Party's president-elect Ma Ying-jeou, will take office on May the 20th. Ties have been strained for the past 8 years, with China accusing Taiwan's ruling DPP of taking the island towards independence. Louisa Lim, NPR News, Shanghai.
The spring meetings of the International Monetary Fund and World Bank continue today in Washington. Finance ministers and central bankers are to discuss ways to deal with a continuing financial crisis. World Bank President Robert Zoellick is calling for a coordinated response to rising food prices around the world. The prime minister of Haiti lost his job yesterday because of continued unrest over the high price of food. Ed Thompson reports.
In a no-confidence vote in Parliament, 16 of 27 senators voted against Jacques-Édouard Alexis, removing him as prime minister of Haiti. The vote reflected widespread frustration over the rising cost of food. Many blamed Alexis and his cabinet. A week of protests, riots, and clashes with UN peacekeepers resulted in at least 5 civilian deaths. And on Saturday, as an uneasy calm appeared to be returning to Haiti, a UN peacekeeper was shot and killed in the capital, Port-au-Prince. Haitian President René Préval, who will now have to name a new prime minister and cabinet, has made an effort to defuse rising anger over food prices. Saturday, he announced a 15% drop in the price of rice. President Préval has come under pressure over the food crisis. Some protesters had called for his resignation. For NPR News, I'm Ed Thompson.
You're listening to NPR News from Washington. Scientists in Canada say new research provides good evidence for Canada's claim to a vast area of the resource-rich Arctic seabed. Dan Karpinchuk reports.
With global warming, the Northwest Passage has become ice-free, and that's led to a scramble with several countries preparing to lay claim to the region. They're anxious to get at what's believed to be a huge supply of natural resources, including possibly trillions of barrels of oil. The Geological Survey of Canada says the size of Canada's Arctic claim is about the equivalent of the Prairie Provinces. Canadian researchers at the remote Eureka weather station on Ellesmere Island have been gathering data to back Canada's claim. Russia has already filed a claim that includes the North Pole, based on a geographic link to an undersea feature called the Lomonosov Ridge. But the Geological Survey says that ridge may also be connected to Canada. Under a UN treaty, the outcome of who owns what could hinge on the ridges that extend far out from the continental shelf. For NPR News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk in Toronto.
American Airlines is running its full schedule today after having canceled more than 3,000 flights last week. The nation's largest airline had grounded jets to ensure the wiring in its MD-80 planes meets federal safety standards. The carrier received clearance from federal aviation officials yesterday to return all its jets to service. An analyst with Standard & Poor's estimates the cost of the cancellations could easily cost the company $30 million. A twin-engine Cessna crashed into a neighborhood in Compton, California yesterday. Officials say it struck two houses, injuring three people on the ground. Both men in the plane were critically injured. Television footage showed the plane's fuselage in one house and its left wing in another. The cause is under investigation. I'm Nora Rahm, NPR News in Washington.